So Many Versions is the title of the new book not found in your so-called Christian bookstore. Ask your pastor why it's not there. We will be going through this book, which brings to light so many versions of the Bible. How do these versions stack up to God's perfect words, the 1769 King James Bible, which they never mention in this book, the Blaney text? It is always the 1611 translation. Here is what the authors Saki Kubo and Walter Speck say in chapter 1, titled Early Modern Speech Versions. Page 26, in the 16th century, William Tyndale risked his life to translate the scriptures and died as a martyr in 1538. What was it that inspired him to undertake such a dangerous and daring work? Tyndale said, "Which thing only moved me to translate the New Testament, because I had perceived by experience how that it is impossible to establish to lay people in any truth, except the scripture were plainly laid before their eyes in their mother tongue, that they might see the processing of the text." Later on, page 26, they fall for the devil's lie. Unfortunately, the very version prefaced by these noble words, the King James Version 1611, is no longer speaking their language of the common man. To the average man of today, the language of the King James Version seems strange and foreign. There is therefore a danger that the Bible may seem to modern man to be something out of date and irrelevant. This has been recognized now for nearly a century. Hence, toward the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, a movement arose calling for translations of the Bible in modern English. Take note that this book puts scholarship first. They don't believe the words on the page. They refer to the originals. There are no originals on the face of the planet. And they attack the so-called archaic words, the King James Bible. So as we continue to go through the Philip translation, which was so endorsed by C.S. Lewis, you know, C.S. Lewis, Clive Staple Lewis, the inventor of Narnia. Like I said, it's like Walt Disneyland, right? He did not believe in creation. He believed in purgatory. He did not believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Clive Staples Lewis. So if you like him, you like somebody who does not believe their Bible. And you know what? That's not uncommon. Most people don't do any studying. So you pick up a C.S. Lewis book, right? Oh, this guy's been endorsed by so many Christians. Yeah, what side of Christianity was he endorsed by? Was he endorsed by the conservative side, the King James Bible-believing side? Or was he endorsed by the liberal text? You know, that of your so-called new translations today. Which side endorsed him? That's important to know before you start reading his nonsense, because C.S. Lewis was not a Bible believer. He continues on page 70. True, there are places where Phillips has not succeeded as well as in the major part of his work, and where Britishisms hinder some understanding. Britishisms, okay? But these are few and far between. As a whole, he succeeds admirably. This success is due to the care he took in avoiding translators' English and in trying out his translations with his friends. Isn't that nice? Do you know anything about the King James Bible translators? Did you know there were 54 of them? Did you know it took them 9 years to translate? And it wasn't about friends. It was about getting the text right. But Phillips was concerned not only about his readers, he was also concerned about his authors. He wanted to write as if he were in their shoes. He says, "For myself, I have taken the bold step of trying to imagine myself as the original writer, whether he be the careful and precise Matthew, the sturdy blunt Mark, the sympathetic understanding Luke, or the more profound and mystically inclined John." And you read that in the Bible Translator, number 4 of 1953 and 1955. So that's what you want in a writer, right? You don't want somebody who is comparing scriptures with scriptures. And that's why it took the King James Translator 9 years to put the Bible together, okay? No, you want somebody who sounds like C.S. Lewis, right? Imagine myself as the precise Matthew, the sturdy Mark, the sympathetic Luke, or the mystically inclined John. More next month.